Good morning. Welcome to Christ United. We're so happy to have you here in this space with us, and to all of our friends online, we say hello. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, so will you stand either in body or in spirit and join us in worship today?
Apparently, we're just going to jam to some music while I figure my life out here. Sorry, everybody.
Taste and see that the
Let's sing that again. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good to me. Oh, taste.
It helps to hear me if I turn my mic on, huh? I'm so glad that y'all are here in worship this morning. My name is Julie Henson, and I have the wonderful privilege of being the pastor to this modern worship service. When you came in, you got a bulletin. Hey, Noah. Good morning. I'm so happy to see you. Okay, can you go sit back down? When you came in, you were given a bulletin. That bulletin has a QR code on the back. You know, Noah, I think I'm actually just going to sit down here real quick. Are y'all cool if I sit down? Okay. In a little bit of pain today. When you came in, you were handed a bulletin. that bulletin has a QR code on the back. And that is going to link you to let me know that you are here today and to let you know that I am praying for you. And it links to a way to give as well. So be sure and check that out. There's also a packet at the back of every seat row in front of you. So take that packet and pass it down the row. You'll find a Connect card there. That Connect card has a little bit more information about ways that you can plug in here at Christ. And so be sure and look at that. There is a giving card in there. And there is a prayer request card. We have a wonderful ministry here at Christ United, our prayer ministry that meets every other Tuesday nights, and they take those prayer cards and they pray over each and every one. And that's something that we believe in as a community of faith. Not only the power of prayer, we're talking about that in our sermon series, but the power of praying together and what that does for us as a community to know that there is somebody walking with you and somebody praying with you. So happy March. No, it is still not my due month, but it's close. We set an induction date for April 10th, so we're getting close. We're gonna make it to Easter, y'all. We're gonna make it there. So we've got several things coming up. First off, the Lent study. It is not too late to come and join us for one of these Lent studies on Tuesday night or at Tuesday noon with me. Or if it is too busy in your schedule, you can also join us online. And so be sure and do that. It is a wonderful opportunity to get connected. This book that we're reading, Praying in a Noisy World, is a devotional book. It's not a chapter book. And it has all of these different ways to pray and practices of prayer. I think sometimes we think that we're supposed to pray a certain way. And this study has been so great to talk about the different ways that we can engage and connect with God through prayer. So even if you just want to pick up the book, it is a great addition to this series that we are in. And then we have got an Easter egg hunt coming up in just a few weeks on Palm Sunday, which is March 24th. Yeah, March 24th, I think that's right. And they are doing a candy drive. So right outside these doors, there is a basket, and you will see an opportunity to come and donate candy. We have a lot of kids. Was I right on the date? Well, this is for the candy drive, so through March 17th. I think I'm right on the dates. The next Sunday is the 24th, right? I'm good. I'm killing it today. So if you would like to help donate candy, we would very much appreciate it. We already have a ton of kids signed up for the Easter egg hunt. Early bird registration for that ends today, so be sure and sign up your kids for that. It's going to be so much fun together right after worship on the 24th. And then we have our Easter flower sale, our Easter lily flower sale. And we would love for you to be part of that. If you would love to give flowers in memory of or in honor of someone on Easter Sunday, this whole front area will be covered with flowers as well as in the sanctuary. And we would love to be able to honor your loved one with you. And so you can go to that link and purchase an opportunity to have those lilies. And you can pick them up after worship that Sunday as well and take them home with you. And finally, right after this service, the kiddos and Miss Kristen and the parents of third through fifth graders are going to be meeting to talk about Camp Bridgeport. Has anybody, raise your hand if you're a camp kid or a Bridgeport kid. Has anybody been to Bridgeport? So none of you went to summer camp. None of you? Really? Okay, so you're all going to go to the information session and you're all going to go to Bridgeport. Mason, you went to Bridgeport, right?
Many times.
Yeah, I'm a Bridgeport kid. It's an awesome summer camp, both for our youth and for our teens. It's a United Methodist camp, and we're having an information session about it this afternoon. And so join Kristen, our children's director over there, and you can hear a little bit more about Bridgeport and the wonderful week of camp that they have coming up for our kiddos. Okay, so that's a lot. but we're in the season of a lot. And so we're going to continue worship this morning through giving of our tithes and offerings. And there are many ways to give here at Christ UMC. You can give through our Venmo account, Christ United. You can give online at our online giving platform at cumc.com/give. Or the baskets are going to come by during this next song, and you can give through your tithes and offerings in that basket. Many of us have been praying this past week for those who have been affected in the panhandle by the wildfires. Many of us know people up there. Many of us know those communities that have been directly affected by those wildfires. And so today, I know that many of us are not only looking to pray, but help support those people. And we have an opportunity to do that. And so we have a link. If you go to that same link, cumc.give, we are giving and partnering with Amarillo United Methodist Church to provide assistance and aid to those impacted by the wildfires. There's many other places. Amarillo is a partnership and a kind of connection for us because Margie McNear, if you've been here a long time, that name may sound familiar to you. Margie McNear is a former Christ United associate. She became a church planter last summer when she helped charter Amarillo United Methodist Church. And so we have partnered with her, and we give thanks for her ministry and the opportunity to help support them during this really difficult time. So you can go to cumc.com/give, and you can use the drop-down menu on there that says Texas Wildfires, or on your offering today, either on the offering envelope or on your check, you can type in the memo Texas Wildfires, and we'll make sure that it goes to support this incredible mission work. It is a joy to be in worship together, to taste and see of God's goodness, to know that God is with us, that God loves us, that in every breath that we take and in everything that we do, God is just right there with us. Maybe not fixing everything, but that's not what God promised us. God promised us abundance. Celebrate and we worship that abundance. Would you pray with me? God of forgiveness and mercy and redemption. We come into this place today holding a lot of different things. We know that your love is always with us. We know that you are always holding us. We know even when we can't feel it or see it, that we can come into this place at this hour, drop everything else, and feel your presence. So God, today, your presence needs no invitation. You are already here. But help us to be present to your presence. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Created to bear it alone.
Simple thing. We've experienced trust. We've found people in our lives who we know are there to protect us, and they're not there to make our lives difficult. We found the ability to distract our minds when it's in turmoil. We found the ability to think about other things and to be busy and move through. We're wherever we're at, wherever we're feeling, God. But it's not always easy to put our trust in you. It's not always easy to run to you. So as we move through this service, God, we ask that you give us the ability for just this small time to trust you, to run to you, to let go of our need to distract our minds, to let go. When you're our only lifeline, God, we find this peace. And we need that in our lives, God. So I just ask that over these next few minutes, God, you help us all clear our minds and open up our hearts and to trust that you will change us. In your wonderful and wonderful name we pray.
We are in week 3 of our Lent sermon series, Small Choices Change Everything. And as we have journeyed through this season of Lent, we've come to a time where we've talked about our willingness to say yes to God, yes to prayer, yes to wherever God is leading us. And that is a small choice, but it makes a big impact when we can begin to, in the small ways, become more attuned to Jesus and where Jesus is leading us and calling us, just like he called the first disciples. And then last week, we talked about choosing hope and choosing to pray for hope in the midst of suffering. Maybe a little bit more difficult. What you're going to find in the next couple of weeks is that all of these build on each other, and they progressively get harder and harder and harder. Maybe like a really good workout. But last week we talked about choosing to pray for hope even in the midst of suffering, even when things are dark and when we can't quite see the light at the end of the tunnel, how important it is that Jesus calls us back to hope, that we are people of hope, that we are people who pray for hope in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. And today we are talking about choosing to trust. Choosing to trust. I love what Mason said just now in his prayer that, you know, that there's a lot of times when we think we can trust, that we think, well, we know how to trust God because we do that with other people in our lives, but yet it's not as simple as maybe we think it should be. When things get difficult, when our lives get hard, when the road feels really long and we begin to feel that sense of fatigue and exhaustion, sometimes it's a lot harder to trust God because we want to be in control. We want to have a say. I found myself this past week in thinking about Easter and how we're getting into March, and we've got these days where it's sunny and beautiful and even almost up to 90 degrees. My son has started asking to go swimming. He doesn't quite understand seasons yet, so I tried to explain summer to him the other day, and he said, well, then I want summer. Like, well, that's fair. But as we get closer into spring, have you seen everything starting to bloom? Have you seen the little pieces of green on the trees start to bloom? And I found myself very eagerly wanting to get to Easter. I want to get to all of the beautiful music, and I want to get to all of the resurrection, and I'm just a flower person. I just love all the flowers. I want to get to all the flowers and the joy. And then I found myself saying, but you're right in the middle of Lent. Like, you're only halfway. You're not even close to Easter yet. I mean, you are only halfway. And one of my favorite authors used to say, quit Eastering all over my Lent. But they don't make a lot of Lent decorations, and so we end up doing chocolate bunnies and Easter baskets instead of the more maybe soulful and meditative type decorations. But do you find yourself doing that, just an eagerness, like, okay, can we, I know where we're going. I know where we're going. I know that there's resurrection at the end of this. Can we just get there? That's where I want to be. I don't want to be in some of these hard choices, and I don't want to be in these steps where it gets more and more difficult every single week. I want to be at resurrection with Jesus. And it made me think of a really long road trip. I love long road trips, but I did not as a kid. And I will admit to you and to my parents who may watch this later, I am sorry for not being a good road trip partner when we traveled to Tennessee and Colorado and to beaches in the summer. I just didn't like sitting still that long. And I came up with a little trick, and it wasn't a trick, it was true. I got car sick quite a bit. But I also realized that if I told my parents I was gonna get sick, that they would pull the car over. And so I began to tell them quite often that I didn't feel good and that I was going to get sick. They caught on after a while and just started giving me a cup. You can tell I am not the firstborn. It's like, oh, she feels sick. Give her a cup. Let us know if we need to dump it out. But I would find myself on these long road trips that would take, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 hour days saying that phrase that I'm sure you have said before or heard before. What is it? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, and of course my parents, nope. And I remember one particular trip where I thought we were a lot further along than we were. We were going to Tennessee to see my cousin and my aunt. And I thought we were in Tennessee. We were not in Tennessee. Now, even once you get into Tennessee, they live at the very northern point in Kingsport, Tennessee. I thought we were at least like Memphis. Like, I thought we had crossed the bridge. Like, I had taken a good nap. Apparently, I'd been asleep for about 5 minutes, and we were still in Arkansas. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Well, today we are talking about a scripture where something happens right in the middle. Right in the middle of a wedding. And it's not at the beginning of the wedding where you can still kind of figure out how to fix it. And it's not towards the end of the wedding where you go, oh, well, we're almost done anyways. In Jesus' time, weddings were 7 days long. And right in the middle of the wedding, something very, very tragic happens. Something that you do not want to happen when there are 7 days to an event. So we're going to read about this really great scripture and miracle that is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to me and to you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet." So they took it out. When the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine, he did not know where it came from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew. That person called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Why did you wait? Why did you wait and bring the good stuff out last? You're supposed to bring the good stuff out first. But the servants knew. What an odd first miracle. The Gospel of John is very different than the other three Gospels that we read. It's actually, in fact, the only place that we find this story. And what you find over and over in the Gospel of John is that there are these nuances and particularities, not only around the writing and the stories. Why, of all things, a miracle with wine? There's other people that need more help. Why would you start with the wine running out? There's all these weird little stories that show us a little bit about who Jesus is and who Jesus is here for. And so we read this, and I don't know, did y'all hear his tone with his mother? I would have been like, son, we don't talk that way, especially not in front of other people. But he says to his mother, who in fact in John, this is a particularity, John doesn't have a birth narrative, so we never hear the word or the name Mary. Mary is only named as the mother of Jesus here, and then at the end of the book during Jesus's crucifixion. The mother of Jesus says the wine has run out. And Jesus says, what concern is that to me? That doesn't sound like something that Jesus would say. What an odd thing for Jesus to say. Why is that a concern to me? But when we hear it the way maybe that Jesus says things, he's inviting his mother into the concern. He's actually asking her a pointed question. It's not a sarcastic question or a rhetorical question. He is asking her genuinely, why is this just a concern of mine? Who does the concern belong to? And so when Mary hears this, the mother of Jesus, she tells the servants to do whatever Jesus asks. And they go and they fill up the jars. What concern of this is for me? Why should I be concerned with this? You see, what Jesus is talking about in the Gospel of John is the things that we should be concerned about. That following Jesus, trusting Jesus, means that the only person to be concerned with the important things of the world, the brokenness of the world, the salvation of the world, is not just Jesus. It's us too. And if we are to follow and to be faithful, maybe we should have some concern for the things of this world as well. Maybe we should have some concern about what to do when things are not going well. This pattern continues in the Gospel of John whenever there is a feeding of thousands of people and they run out of food. And one of the disciples, Philip, looks at Jesus and says, we've run out of food, what do we do? And Jesus says, you feed them. You, the followers of Christ, the faithful ones, the ones who are traveling and journeying with me, learning from my teachings, but also learning what it means for you to have the same concerns, the same mind as me. You feed them. I wonder today what our prayer life would be shaped like and what our walk with Jesus would look like if we took time in our prayer life to have concern for the same things that God has concern about. I wonder today about concern for people who don't know where their next meal is coming from. I wonder today about the people who don't know how they're going to make their next rent check or mortgage check. I wonder about the people who just lost everything in a wildfire. I wonder today about the people in the hospitals who don't know when they can go home or if they'll ever get to go home. I wonder today in concern about the widows who've lost someone and don't quite know how to function in an empty house. I wonder today with concern about what Jesus might be asking me to do if I was concerned about the same things that Jesus is concerned about. Maybe today in the Gospel of John, this is not just a cool party trick that Jesus pulls off in the middle of a wedding. Instead, it's a miracle. But why is it a miracle? Why do we consider this particular water turning into wine thing a miracle? Maybe it's not because it's about what happens, but who gets to witness the miracle? Did you pick up on that little nuance? What does Jesus do? His mother tells them to listen and to do whatever he says. And Jesus says to the servants, go draw 6 stone water jars holding 20 to 30 gallons. Fill the jars with water. And then when the water is turned into wine, who was it that notices? It's not the bridegroom. It's not the people having a great time at this wedding. They think there's some great new wine that's here. And why did you save this for now? We should have had this at the beginning. But who gets to witness the miracle? It's the servants. The miracle is for the servants. I wonder today in our walk with Jesus if we are being called once again in our trust and in our faith in Jesus to become like servants again. If we want to witness the miracles of Jesus, if we want to be about the work of Jesus and see what Jesus is up to in this broken world that we should have concern for, I wonder if what Jesus is telling us is, well, then be like the servants. Be the ones who get to work. Be the ones who are attuned to the concerns of the world so much so that you can't sit still and not do anything. Be a servant in the midst of the concern and brokenness of our world. That's where the miracles happen. Jesus' miraculous life and death and resurrection is not about magic. It is not about superstition. It is about a man who chose to be faithful to God. It is about the Messiah who chose to save us for that same work. Jesus didn't save us so that we could have happy little fairy tale lives. Jesus saved us so that we could have lives that are full. Not lives that are without suffering, but lives that are full and abundant. That word shows up in the Gospel of John over and over again, so that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Have it with abundance. That kind of fullness doesn't come from hoping that the wine is just really good. And that when the wine runs out, maybe somebody will go get some more and we can continue our good time. That fullness comes from being faithful to the following of Jesus. Trusting that in the same way that Jesus has concern for our lives and our well-being, that Jesus has that same concern for each and every other person and is calling us to be about the work of that concern. That the building of the kingdom is about that servanthood and that concern for others, to get to be part of it. So this week in your prayer life and your small choices, I ask that you maybe choose to put more trust in Jesus. Sometimes I don't like to pray for God to show me where the brokenness is in the world or show me where Jesus might be calling me. Because it may just ask too much of me. I mean, there is a downside to asking those questions of God. We don't get to determine the answer. What if God calls us to something we're not ready for? What if Jesus tells us that we need to drop our nets and leave everything else behind and follow him? There's risk involved. And in the middle of a really long road trip of Lent, sometimes we can get tired and exhausted. But we know Easter's coming. The fullness of Easter, the abundance of Easter, the goodness of Easter is found when we deepen that relationship and that trust and that faith once again. and we find the abundance and goodness of God once again. Amen. We're going to go into a time of communion. If you've been around here before, you know that communion is one of my favorite things. It's a time when we come into union with God and with each other. It's this very ordinary act, but it's an ancient and important ritual that dates back to Jesus and the disciples, and even further from there, Jesus and the disciples came together for a Passover meal. This was something customary that they did together. And what you found in the middle of this Passover meal is that Jesus is part of the customs and the traditions, and Jesus does something different that no one understands, that nobody quite gets. And so every time we come and we partake of these very ordinary elements of bread and juice, we not only remember that Jesus was kind of an unusual guy, but that Jesus did things different so that we could be different. Jesus gave himself for us so that we would remember to give our lives back to God. So we remember the night that Jesus gave himself up for us. He's sitting with his disciples. He's sitting with his dear friends, those people that have been following him. The night before he gave himself up, went to the cross. And during this meal, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples around him and he said, "Take and eat. It's my body and it's given for you. And often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." And then when the supper was over, he took a cup. And he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to those friends, those disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant. We're doing things a little different. My new covenant, that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor and have concern for your neighbor in the same way that you have concern for yourself. This is my blood of that new covenant, and it is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And as often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. Remember your faithfulness. Remember your trust in Christ. Remember your concern for the brokenness of our world and the brokenness of our lives. And that Jesus stands in those moments with us, calling us to the miracles again, calling us to see the abundance of life once again." Let us pray. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one. One with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we do communion a little different around here. You might have noticed our tables. You will be given an opportunity to come to these tables whenever you are ready. There's kneeling pads up front and on the sides. And so come when you are ready during this next song. You will see a cup of grape juice and a piece of bread. I invite you to kneel as you are able and to eat that piece of bread and to drink that juice through the cup. And take some time to pray. It seems fitting in a sermon series around prayer. And during this time of Lent that we take some time to pray. pray that God opens your eyes to the concerns of the world and to the miracles around you. You are invited to come whenever you are ready. Let's worship together.
A garden here in the place I find you close. This is communion here in the place I'm fully known. You're so, so simple. You're so so easy to trust, yeah. 'Cause you are closer, closer than my skin. And you are in the air I'm breathing in. Here's where the dead things come back to living.
Julie, turn your mic on. Are we there yet? Thanks be to God for the journey. Thanks be to God even for the hard stuff. Thanks be to God for the table of communion where we remind ourselves once again that we are loved, we are forgiven, and where we recommit once again to choose to follow Jesus into the unknown, into the unusual, into the concerns of this world. May you be blessed this week, and in your blessing, bless someone else. As it says in our United Methodist liturgy that is found in the book of worship under a wedding, so that the stranger may find in you a generous friend, so that they may see Jesus in you. Amen. Go in peace.
Amen. If you are able in body or in spirit, will you stand and sing this last song?
Blessed week as you bless other people. We'll see you later.